Blog Talk Radio.
They might not have no ride. They Ubering it from here to there, or they'll call you up to take them places wherever they need to go. You know, be like that sometimes. You got to, but when you see them, they be fly as hell. Like, damn, yo, they got style, swag, finesse, but they ain't got no ride, and they sure as hell don't have no car. But you can't tell them nothing. There's something about people who dress well. You can't tell them shit because they look well turned out, but many of them are putting the cart before the horse. Now, you know, so that's the story with people who may only have one out of the three. Now, if you're anything like me, you've known people who had a different one out of the three. Like, I've known people who only had a car. They ain't dress all that well, but they might have had a really nice car. Like they might have had a Benz, or they might have had a high end Nissan, or you know, a Lexus or something like that. Got a nice ride. Don't really dress that fly. They ain't got it like that. No jewelry or nothing like that. But they got that ride. Now, if they a dude, young, if he is a young cat, and he got that ride, he don't really have to have the other three, but you should have a couple of dollars in your pocket. You probably should have a couple of dollars in your pocket, because if you got a ride, but you can barely afford gas or to do anything or go anywhere in your car, well, it'll start to reveal later, because, you know, when you're a young boy, you know, chicks will give you ass just because you have a nice ride. And it's a fact.
No, it's not all of them, but yeah, I've seen it done. I've seen it done plenty of times. My man used to get away with it all the time. The ride got him much ass, sometimes in the car. Okay, and then we may know people who only have the house. That's all they got. Got a nice house. Sometimes they have a nice house and they don't have nothing in it. They might have a little gear. You ever know somebody who just moved into a house, nice ass house? You're like, how did you afford this house? They ain't got no furniture yet though. They might not even have good hangers to hang their clothes up. They got a little gear, but they might not have a ride. They still token in a trans pass, bus pass token in it. I know people who like that. Like, damn, this is a nice crib. It really is. They did, you know, where you buy this shit from, man? They really modernized it. You would have never thought that it looked like that in here. You would have never thought it looked like this in here from outside, or, you know, whatever the case may be. Or they may really have invested in that home and it's in a really decent neighborhood or whatever, you know, whatever. But they don't have all the other stuff. But they might have a little car. Let's say got a little Toyota Corolla, got a little Honda Civic. So you got a house that looked like it should have a Ferrari out in front of it, but, you know, got a little Honda Civic. We still working. So the house, the clothes, the ride. The house, the clothes, the ride. Now we know that there are plenty of other things that you might desire in life, but that's a pretty good start. That seems to be a good piece of the American dream, baby. The American dream. So what you know? What do you know about the house, the clothes, and the ride? If somebody has all three, do you consider them to be successful? Or do you consider them to have it going on? Maybe yeah, maybe no. People who are really rich would look at those three like, the only asset you have there is the house. And you probably ain't doing that right. But does, you know, rich people know some things and they understand some things and they follow a different regimen than most of us do or can understand or are privy to. We ain't got there yet. It's going to take a whole lot of practice, which is why we're not millionaires. You know, but people who play around with them thousands, people who make under six figures, you know how they do. And people who make mid six figures, let's say like, you know, anywhere between 100,000 and 400,000, you know, they be playing tough. You know what I'm talking about. They be playing tough. Like, you got more than 100,000? You got a $200,000, $300,000 salary? What? You know what I'm saying? You getting that Benz. Ain't no way around it. That Benz is going to get bought. All right. So, let's get it. Let's get popping. Let's get it popping right now. Urban Therapy with Sun 752. And this is the daily go get a mission show. We do this every single day. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. We break it down, baby. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. I'm your host, Sun 752, a.k.a. Omar with the rrrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrrr, well, then you just say Omar with the R. This is the Daily Go Get a Business Show all up in your area. I'm feeling like a real man should, and I'm hoping y'all feeling like real men and women should, too, on this Flashback Friday. Thank God it's Friday. We off today because it's Friday and it's Friday. Now, before we really get into this conversation, you know what I mean? This conversation. I want y'all to know that we will not have a Urban Therapy with Sun show this weekend. But, you know, next week, starting on Monday all the way through Sunday, we will have shows. But this is what's going down. Let me just put y'all onto a little something. I'm in the midst of changing jobs right now. So I would have finished up next Friday, but I said, no, we're going to do it like this. I'm going to work both days this weekend, and then I'm going to work a Monday, a Tuesday, and a Wednesday, and then I'll be off because I'm going to start my next job on the 15th of November, and I didn't want to finish up a job on Friday and start a new job on Monday. Like, I'm like, nah, I need to let it breathe a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Plus, I have other things that I have to do. You know, I got to get drug tested. I got to get drug tested. And I got to get fingerprinted. Yes, I do. Got to get fingerprinted. And I got to do all kinds of background checks and all that kind of. Yes, I do. So it's going down. You know, it's going down. So that's what that is. That deal. All right, so no show tomorrow, no show Sunday, but we'll be back Monday. So, we'll be back with a Daily Go Get a Minimum show on a Power Monday. So I just wanted to let y'all know that. So let's get into this thing, y'all. The house, the clothes, and the ride. What you know? What do you know? Whoa, Vandy Candy Queen. That's what's up. And official La Maria. The official La Maria. Thanks for coming on through on the Instagram side. T. Carrie Wright, morning, noon, and night. It's always great to have my people going directly right into your site. And Stacey White, what's going on? Thanks for coming on through. Yeah, my word is wrong. And Emily, a Dunlap is in the house. Wow, she about to turn it out. Yes. And Carol Chamber, let me five a I said, Carol Chamber, let me five a I said, Carol Chamber, let me five a Rita. Which is good. It's always a great thing to see you. My big sis, Robbie Ming, something like a queen for a king. Always down to come through and do a thing. It's the truth, y'all. Yeah, rugged and roof, y'all. No, we don't need an ounce of more proof, y'all. My brother from another mother, Norris Hill, sit back, relax, do your thing, Max, and chill. Thanks for coming on through, y'all. All right. So, yeah. So, what about it? The house, the clothes, the car. The house, the clothes, the ride. The house, the clothes, the ride. You know. You can crash up my ride. Well, maybe not the ride, but I got to have your face all up in the place. You think that I'm a man of exquisite taste. Okay. Yeah, so. You know, sometimes water tastes good as shit. Be like, Yeah. Is it just a black thing? Is it just a black thing that we value, or we look at somebody like they really have it going on if they have the house, the clothes, and the car? I mean, when you think about it, it is a pretty good fly starter kit. It's a pretty good, you know, the thing about it is if you're looking to be really rich, wealthy, or whatever, that really is just a starter kit. And some may even say that you're not really on the right road. Some may say that you have a problem delaying gratification, that you're spending too much money on the wrong things on your way up instead of waiting until you get all the way there and then, you know, spending your money in a different way after you get there. You know, people who speak of assets, people who speak of things, of only purchasing things that will bring you back dividends and returns, yield. But for us growing up, many of us grew up on modest means. We may have grew up in a family that had the type of values where, you know, you got up off your, well, first of all, you took your ass to school every day. You graduated high school. Maybe you went to college. Maybe you didn't. If you didn't go to college, then you got out there, learned yourself a skill or a trade, worked hard, schemed a little bit, you know, hobnobbed with
with somebody who could put you in the position to do well, or, you know, definitely have your eye on success, climbing up the ladder, whether it's the corporate ladder or the ladder of success, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, putting things in line that way. We may have grown up with parents who did exactly that. You know, they weren't striving to be rich, but they definitely kept a good, nice roof over our heads, had a little ride, and maybe a nice ride for some of us. Maybe a modest, this is going to get us from here to there, that's for sure. My shit ain't breaking down all the time, and if it has to go in the shop, I can afford to put it in the shop, wait for it to come out the shop, you know, that type of shit, and kept us looking nice. You know, we went to school, all our clothes were clean and pressed, and, you know, we didn't have holes in our jeans except for when we played too rough. You know how kids used to wear their pants out in the knees. When I was growing up, everybody had to have patches on the knees. We was rough. We climbed trees. We played tag. Mother May I, red light, green light, you know, hide and go seek. It was hide and go seek. It wasn't hide and seek. It was hide and go seek. You know, when we played hide and go seek, you couldn't just, you know, find people and then they were it. You had to go find them, beat them back to the base. It was a race involved. There was a race involved after you saw somebody. Yeah. Yeah, I got my base. Anyway, we were rough on the clothes, but our moms made sure that we had nice clothes. We might not have been spending money all crazy, whatever, because we was rough. I know the boys was. Some of the tomboy girls were too. Anyway, and, you know, so we had a house. We had the clothes, and we had a car. Maybe two cars if your mom and your dad had one each. Sometimes some families had one car, and the mom and the dad shared that car. Or maybe you grew up with just one parent, so that car was what it was. Some of us didn't have a parent who had a car, so we had to make certain provisions. Didn't mean that we didn't have the other two. Might have still had the house. Might not have had a house. Might have had an apartment. Nice apartment. But maybe that apartment building or the apartment that you lived in didn't have a wash and a dry in it. So you had to rock out with that laundry cart. You know what I'm talking about, the laundry cart, that shit. What it look like? It normally came in either black or chrome. And you know that shit folded up. And when it folded, it folded up with the two wheels. It had four wheels. It had two back wheels, two big back wheels, and two small front wheels. You had to roll that bitch to the laundromat. You know what it is? You know what it is when y'all went to the market or the grocery store, whatever you call it. You had to get a ride to and from, because you had a lot of groceries. Your mom might not have had a car, but she had like 3, 4, 5 kids. So those trips to the market, you know, shit, it wasn't the kind of trips where you could carry a couple of bags from the market. No, we got to get a ride. We got to get a ride from the market, you know. So, you know, you might not have had all three. Did it mean that you weren't a success? Does it mean that you didn't have anything? Does it mean that you weren't going anywhere? Does it mean that you settled for less? I think it's something that we should take a look at, a strong look at. What is our ideal of success? Is our ideal of success the material things that we own? Or is it the feeling that we have inside? What defines, or should I say, is it... Okay, maybe I should do a third. Is it the material things that we own or can buy, or is it the look of success because of the things that you own or whatever, or is it
something else? Is it more of a spiritual thing? Is it something? Is it something that you feel inside of you that makes you know whether you are a success or not? Without the material things, what y'all think? What you think? I don't care who's first or who last, but you better drop this at the rock this at the drop of a dime, baby. So yeah, the house, the clothes, and the ride. What y'all know? The house, the clothes, and the ride. Is that the American dream? Especially when you got when you have some money left over. When neither of those three are sucking up all the money, is that the American dream? There are some factions that sell us on the notion of success. And then there are some factions that tell you, nah, you know, everything is all right. You get it how you get it, when you get it, you know? And then there's some factions that'll tell you just pray. They'll pray and the Lord will provide, whatever. So let's talk it out. If y'all would like to call in and talk about this topic, I invite you to call in. And the number to call is area code 319-527-6199. That's the number to call. I said a 319-527-6199. Yes, 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 y'all. I said a 319-527-6199. Yeah, get on the line. I said a 319-527-6199. Yeah, get your shine, baby. 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 319-527-6199, baby. It's the Daily Go Get a Business Show. So let's rock. I see that we have a caller on the line right now. Right now. Caller with the last numbers 4580. Welcome to the Daily Go Get a Business Show. Thank you for holding. Thank you for calling in. What is on your mind this evening?
Yeah, you got a caller on the line. Yeah. This is Joe. Hello,
what's
Joe.
Up, Joe? What's going on?
You're right, Joe. It's the keeping up with the Joneses. It's the house, the cars, and the ride. I mean, it's the house, the clothes, and the ride. Because people, they go to work in order to make money to support their families. But they don't do it just to break even at the end of the month. Although most people do. That's because they don't know how to handle credit or they don't know how to not pursue the next shiny bauble. But yeah, people want the white picket fence, the good community, the good schools, the nice car, and they want to show it all off to their neighbors. So that's what America in the middle class, upper middle class is all about. And when they have money left over, you know, they can put it in the trust fund, go on vacations. I don't think a lot of people are doing that nowadays. I don't think there is an upper middle class. I don't even think there's much of a middle class anymore.
Yeah. When you start talking about the middle class nowadays, it has changed only because, well, when you think about it, lower class and upper class are pretty easy to define. And everything else is in the middle. But the thing is, now if you're in the middle, see, the middle used to be, you know, if you had if you made a salary anywhere between $30,000 a year between $30,000 and half a million, you were middle class. But half a million, you know, you were kind of upper middle. You were definitely upper middle class. Now, upper middle class you have to be making above $500,000. So it's between $500,000 and a million. Now, if you are a millionaire with only $1 million, you're not rich anymore. Not considered rich anymore. So it has made the middle seem a little funny, you know what I mean? Because
so many things that you would like to buy. Like, if you, Joe, I don't know how old you are, but I'm 51. So
right.
I remember.
I'm older than you are.
Okay. Okay. So when I was growing up as a little boy in the 70s, I remember my dad had a Cadillac. He had Cadillac.
Right.
And a Cadillac then was $14,000 for an Eldorado. So, so you think about how much you had to make in order to afford a Cadillac. So if you were making $30,000, if you were making $30,000 back then or more, that was equivalent to making over $100,000 compared to today. So you were doing really well. You understand what I mean? Now, inflation has skewed the line so much that we know that we're in the middle, but you may be so far down in the middle, you're barely making ends meet because of the high cost of everything. So it's tough to define. So,
well, the purchasing power is really gone. It's eroded because of what you're talking about. A $14,000 Cadillac, that was expensive even back then because Cadillacs cost less prior to that particular time. Just like when a Mustang came out in 64, 65, I think. I think it cost only $1,500, maybe $3,000. I'm not quite sure. But, you know, inflation, geez, that really does erode the middle class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You see, back in the day, middle class meant that you could afford a decent home, afford a decent house. You may have even been able to afford to send your children to private school or something like that. Now, middle class doesn't guarantee that. You may just be keeping your head above water. You know, you may be able to, you know, afford a modest home, a modest car, maybe some clothes, you know, keep decent clothes on your children's backs. But if you have more than two children or whatever, it's going to be tough to make it on only, you know, $45,000 to $50,000. Although I've seen people do it. I see people do it every day. And they, you know, I've seen them make it look pretty good. It looks pretty good, but when you go beneath the surface and you when you know the truth, it's like, I don't know how you're doing it. Because there's nothing left.
You again, people have to stop chasing that bauble. When I bought stuff, I didn't buy it on credit. I bought stuff with cash. Or if I did buy it on credit, I paid off the next month. That time you make sure that you don't end up in bankruptcy due to buying stuff. Mm-hmm. I have a two-pronged question for you. What would you say if somebody, an employer, offered you, I've got a good job for you, go, but and it's going to pay you $6,000. What would you say?
$6,000 per what?
Per year.
Well, I hope this is like 1950.
Well, that's where I'm going, because if you actually made $6,000 in 1950, you could actually afford a two-bedroom house, be married, and only pay $240 in federal income tax.
That's amazing. It really is. That's amazing. Yeah. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, and the inflation wouldn't be that bad if everything went up at the same time, but that's not the way it works. You know, like the products and the services are going up, but many of the salaries are remaining the same. That's why when I listen to politicians talk about raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, I'm like, that's not going to cut it, because as those salaries raise, the cost of things are going to have to raise too, because those companies that are going to raise those salaries, what do you think they're going to cut their profits so they can pay more salaries? It's not going to work. That's not what they're going to do. That's not the way business works. And the government knows that's not the way business works. So it's like, it sounds ridiculous. It sounds ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
So, yeah, it's tough.
And it's all messed up. It's very tough. Right. And the government's for
No, go ahead.
The government's complicit in this, too. Because, as you said, they know about it. And they allow it. They actually encourage it. They practically demand it. Because if you really want to jump into the rabbit hole, I believe the government for years has been complicit in destroying America. The politicians we have up there now, the Republicans and the senators, I used to think there used to be a couple of decent Republicans. I don't think any of them anymore have any guts at all. I don't think they have any morality. I think they are there just to collect the money from lobbyists and to destroy America, either by negligence, by not caring about what happens to America, even though they know that it's going down the tubes, or by deliberately destroying it. I think they're in the pockets of international bankers. I'm a conspiracy. Oh, have you seen my my tinfoil hat lately? I misplaced it.
But see, you know, you bring up an interesting topic, because I've been telling people for years that politics is all about money. It doesn't have anything to do with people. People are the pawn. People are the smoke screen. It, you know, without the people, they won't be able to get the money. So they pretend that it's about the people, but it's not. You know, without the money, there are no reasons for politicians at all. Each politician's job is to protect the money. It's to move the money from one side to the other side. But let me ask you this. I want to ask you a loaded question deals with this show. And the reason that it's a loaded question is because it's based on opinion. What would you today on November 5th, 2021, what would you say off the top of your head was a decent salary to make per week?
Per week. Okay, so we have 40 man hours a week. It's 2,000 man hours a year. I could do it because the way that I live, I can live on $50,000 a year, which would be $25 an hour easily.
Most people
could not, because most people, they don't live on a budget, and they always, again, they're always got to have more. You know, the newest, the more, and the newest. I don't. I buy, let's say, a CD player. I don't need the newest one. If I buy a car, I don't need to trade it in every 2 years. So for me, $50,000, I can save money.
Okay.
At the end of the year.
Now that $50,000 to $55,000 a year that you were talking about, is that you as a single man, like, you know, no children, no spouse, no anything?
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
Exactly.
All right. Okay. I would agree. For that salary, you could live pretty decently. You could afford to buy a home. You could afford a decent car.
Right.
You could afford to go out, you know, eat dinner, things like that. You know, you could afford vacation, recreation, stuff like that. Yeah. So, you know, all right. So, okay, $55,000 is about $27 an hour. It's around there, you know. It's straddling around that area.
Just multiply whatever you put. Yeah, whatever the daily, the hourly wage is by 2,000. That's how I get the annual wage. There's 40 work hours in a week times 50. I always say, if it's $25 an hour times 2,000, it's 50,000 bucks a year.
Mm-hmm.
26 would be 52,000. Yeah.
Okay.
27 bucks an hour. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 26. Yeah. I know, because I made it.
You got the pay stubs.
it's one of those things, but the thing is, you know, for a single person, that might be okay. Now we realize, okay, well, let me ask you this before I add on to it. Would you consider that to be middle class?
In today's world,
uh-huh.
I would probably be, I would consider myself middle class, but it'll be lower middle class, you know, just in between lower and not upper, but between lower and the middle class.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does qualify as middle class. However, you wouldn't have to necessarily look middle class while doing it, because while you're making $55,000 a year, for example, you would, if you saved your money, you may be able to do some really nice things, like buy a boat. You know,
right.
It's hard to look like you're not making any money when you buy a boat. But of course, boats are like cars. You have good boats. You know, you have good boats. You have shitty boats.
Your neighbor has a boat, and you have a canoe.
Right. If you saved your money, like if you were able to save, let's say, $150. No, I would say on a two week pay schedule, let's say if you save $300 per pay period, that would get you about
that's $600 a month. That's $600 a month, because that $300 will meet if you could save every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be $600 a month. It would be $7,200 a year. Yeah.
So that's not bad. You could drop a down payment. You know, you wouldn't have to have a car payment. You could get a decent used vehicle for that much, or you could do something like buy a boat, or you could take the money and you could invest it, maybe put a down payment on a rental property, you know, to invest in or something like that.
Right.
You know, there are things that you could do to earn more money to get some type of residual income. The problem comes
exactly what I would do.
And that is what should be done. However, culturally, that's not always what's done. You know, sometimes when you feel let's say if you come from making $18 an hour and you move up to $27 an hour, that feels like a really significant jump. Until you really start adding up the money and you realize, like, wait a minute. Let's see, $1 an hour really equals $40 per paycheck. You know what I'm saying? So when you think about $9.
$2,000 a year, though.
That's true. If you handle it that way. And remember, that's untaxed. That's not taxed.
Right.
So it's not $40. You know what I'm saying? We're really straddling somewhere around $30, maybe even $28, you know, that type of thing. So it doesn't come out exactly the way that we plan it, but we always we concentrate, or we're conditioned to concentrate on the gross instead of the net, when the net is the only part of it that we can spend. But it gets really complicated.
Right.
Yeah, it gets really complicated when you have other expenses besides yourself, which you're going to have, because somewhere along the line, you're going to have friends, you're going to have a girlfriend or a wife or children or something that's going to take away from your bottom line rather than add to it. So,
you know what I've done?
What have you done?
You know what other people should? Everything that you're talking about, I put in the spreadsheet. Including the ancillary expenses, how much it costs for a car, truck, how much it costs to go out on dates, how much does it cost for food, fixed expenses, non-fixed expenses, variable expenses, just like a business.
Mm-hmm.
So I put that in a spreadsheet. People should do that so that they'll know exactly what it is that they have to spend in order to know what they're going to have to save for what particular purpose in the future. So I advise people to do that.
Yeah. Do you have any idea why people don't do it?
I think because a lot of people can use Word, you know, word processing. Not a lot of people like to use Excel or a spreadsheet. If they actually got into it, if you like numbers, I like numbers. If you like numbers, you open up a spreadsheet and you just put in whatever you need to put in there in order to find the arithmetic or the mathematics that you need. So people should put it down before Excel came along. I was doing that on paper.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they don't, but they should. I remember I had a conversation like that with another talk show host. He says people don't even know how to do it. He himself was in the Army. And he said he didn't really know how to do something like that. It should be taught in high school. And I said, wait a minute. All you got to do is just got a certain amount of salary per year. You know what your rent is. You know approximately what your lights and utilities are. You know approximately how much you spend for food. You put it down on a piece of paper and bingo bango. But
mm-hmm.
a lot of people don't want to do it, and they don't know how to do it, and they don't want to use the spreadsheet, I guess.
Well, you know, if you're not as computer literate as other people who are really adept at Microsoft application, you know, some people don't even know what Microsoft Office is. But yeah. what I was getting to was, you don't even need an Excel spreadsheet to do it. You can do it with a pen and paper if you just know how to add or multiply, add, subtract, multiply.
Yeah.
You know, all general math. But a lot of people don't do it. I suspect that a lot of people don't add up their expenses because I think it depresses some people when they realize exactly what they have. Being honest, you know, like, I thought I was doing pretty good, but it turns out.
Yeah. No wonder I'm paying child support and I'm broke.
And listen, you know, where I'm from, your money is fucked up. You might fuck around and go out and spend some more of it. Like, wait a minute. Wait, this is not a good time to go buy a pair of Jordans. Like, no. Like, listen, man, fuck it. The money is fucked up anyway. What's just another day? It's a 6 foot old. What's the 6.5 gonna make? I mean, what's the 6.5 gonna make? It's crazy, but really, I suspect that some people don't do their numbers or don't calculate their expenses as much because it makes them feel like they're not doing enough, or that they have a lot more to do, or they're not as accomplished as it may appear to others, and maybe even to themselves. So it's sort of like when you go to the ATM. Well, it's sort of like when you go to the ATM and you know that there's only a little bit of money in there, so you take out what you can, and when it asks, do you want your balance, you say, fuck no. No.
No.
I know what I did.
I don't need any reminders of what I just done.
Right. See this artificial intelligence judging me? Give me the fucking $5.
You take this AI and shove it.
I gotta get 2 gallons of gas. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah.
Fuck. You know, You probably hit on a real valid point. People just don't want to know how bad they're doing, so they don't want to put it down on black and white.
Hey.
To let themselves know.
There's a reason why wealthy people
And well, people who are well-to-do, there's a reason why they keep their eyes on their money at all times, because they're organized to the point where they know exactly where they are, and they're pretty satisfied with their position as far as the direction that they're going. So those of us who aren't as structured as those people are, you know, we don't really want reminders of our station. You know what I mean? Hey, I mean, you know, I'll say this: you have to do what you need to do in order to make yourself feel good, because that may be the thing that gets you to do a little bit better at some point. You know, because the light may the light may already be on, but it may not be bright enough in order for you to reveal everything that's going on in the room. You understand what I mean? There may be a dimmer on.
Yeah.
Another thing, so when we talk about the house, the clothes, and the car, you know, that shows well to a lot of people. You know, you know the truth about how much money is left, but to other people it looks pretty well. And if you're not trying to be extravagant with any of the three, then, you know, people sort of look at you, you know. Well, let me put it this way. It may allow you to walk with your head held high, because you're doing as well as most people are, and maybe even better than some, even though none of us are doing all that well, you know, in terms of what wealth is, generational or otherwise. You know what I'm saying? So it's a crazy thing. Now,
people are materialistic. Yeah, I mean. Do you know that, everybody knows, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
That when you're upper middle class, and definitely in the multimillionaire status, there's going to be a lot of keeping up with the Joneses, a lot of keeping up with the Buffets, you might say. Do you know that there are yachts in the marina that, to measure their wealth, people actually go out of the way to buy yachts that are like, 5 to 6 feet longer than their neighbor's yachts. Just, you know, to swing the bigger dick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. You listen, man. You know, getting up to yacht status, because, you know, they cost a lot of money. You know, a yacht of any size, it's an expensive piece of real estate / machinery. You know, it costs a lot. And
I've heard yachts that cost $51 million.
It's crazy.
No.
What are you talking about? It's definitely a house on the water, but it's not like you live there. You know, I mean, so it kind of makes you wonder if the rich try to outdo each other more than the poor do. What do you think?
Well, I'm definitely more than the poor, because the poor really don't have much to try to outdo each other with, you know. But the middle class, upper middle class, yeah, I would say so. I would say there's always that competition of men to men and women to women about who's got more of the prettier, who's got more of the better, who's got more of the newer, and it'll continue on until the day they die. How much can they leave their children? How much they have in trust funds? Things like that. Sure.
Yeah. It's funny when you say that you think that the rich try to outdo each other more than the poor do. I don't know, man. I guess it depends on what you consider poor. Because if you've ever seen two neighbors try to outdo each other, it can get interesting. You know, they might think about it. Home things like home furnishings, like, you know, furniture, even the quality of paint that they may fix their house up with. You know, who gets a deck versus a porch, you know, things like that. I mean, neither one of the neighbors are rich. You know, they may both live under, well, maybe if the husband and the wife both work and they both make decent salaries, so to speak. You know, they, let's say they have a combined income of $150,000, maybe even $200,000. So you can do some good things. You can afford a decent home. You can, you know, have decent cars and stuff like that. But you and your neighbors might be going toe to toe with certain things. You know what I mean? Like, hey, you got the Ford F-150. I'm getting the Dodge 2500. Yes, that's right. The 2500, the big wheels in the back. Six lugs, not that five lugs, six.
Right.
Super cab, motherfucker.
You reminded me of a case, a very specific case, many years ago when I was living in a different neighborhood. And I was living in an apartment building, and there were two neighbors, and one of the neighbors, both of them were married. The neighbors had married couples in both, and one of them, the one guy was taking out his wife like, you know, once a week or so, you know, to take her out romantically, take her out to dinner. The other couple never had done that, but once they found out, and they were friends, these two particular couples. Once one found out that the other was doing that, the wife insisted that the husband, who wasn't making anywhere near the salary of the other guy, take her out once a week, twice a week, I guess, just to keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah. So that's what I mean. You know, competition doesn't take days off regardless of the socioeconomic structure of it. You know what I mean? Like, you use whatever you have to compete with whoever your competition is. Shoot, you know, even if you're not buying material things, you may, I've seen people put their kids up to compete. Yeah.
Right.
Like, my son can
like
hit
a little league armor. Yeah.
That's right. My son is starting, and yours is on the bench. Ah, he throws the girl.
Yeah. And they do it subtly, too. You know, it's like, it's too bad that Johnny's on the bench. You know, he'll play better next time. But I'm sure glad that my son got the chance to pitch the no-hitter. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, things like that. It's real shit. And, you know, so there's competition on many levels, different levels or whatever. But and whatever money you have to play around with, that's what you're going to compete with. You know, if you are a small fry, you're not going to try to compete with the big boys because that's no competition for the big boys. You know, you're too small to compete. So you may compete with whoever is in your circle or on your level,
right,
who tries to rise above a little bit. I mean, I've seen spouses do it. I've heard women talk about how much their husbands make and things like that, you know,
right,
positions that they've moved up on jobs and stuff like that. So, you know, yeah, it can happen in a lot of different forms, in a lot of different places and different ways.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I wonder why I didn't think of this before. Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. And I had known of it because it occurred between my family and a few other families and a family in my and another family within my family. So, oh yeah. It just dawned on me. Yeah. Yeah.
Wherever you are, whatever your station is in life, you know, it's going to you're going to compete on that level, and the competition may get really, really heated. You know, shoot. I mean, we probably all witnessed baking competitions. You know what I'm saying? Like, so whose biscuits are better?
Yeah.
Pies, things like that. Compete wherever you are. It's crazy.
Yeah, whatever talents you have, whatever kind of money you're making within your socioeconomic status. Yeah. When I was thinking about, I thought of that years ago. I said, if it weren't for this particular recognition of what was going on, of what one particular family was doing with their money, with their kids, then the other faction of my family probably would not be doing it as well, and neither would we. I forgot all about that. Yeah, you're right. It can get intense for years. Subtly, you know, they're talking about what the kids are doing, you know, and you know, after a while, if you're a male, with your male ears, listening into the female talk, it's not just subtle conversation about, hey, how was your day? It's about the competition. Yeah.
Well, we have to consider that they're way more in the middle class and lower middle class, upper, and the whole entire middle class makes up the bulk of the population. So that it would seem to me like there would be way more competing on that level than on the wealthy level, because you know there aren't as many wealthy as there are.
Right.
You know, the middle.
Yeah.
So the middle has right. a lot more to compete with. You know, one thing the rich are never going to battle over are clothes and cars. Like, that's a little too easy. You know, that's why when you start mm-hmm. taking it to the yacht level, yeah, that's different. You know, but only certain people can compete on the yacht level. That's an exclusive competition. It's like, you know, everybody can't get into this category. This is golf. This isn't even
right.
tennis. This is golf. You know, like
it's different.
It's different. The whole mechanics is different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's crazy. But I was just gonna say, even with all of that being said, I don't see any reason why you shouldn't be proud of whatever you have in what capacity you have, because success takes on different forms for different people. Some people don't care about material success even in the least, even though they may make a really good money or whatever. Some people find success in other things like spirituality and all kinds of stuff. And it seems weird. It seems weird when somebody who makes really good money doesn't seem to value it that much or gives up a lot of it in order to I don't want to say satisfy their guilt, but I always get real suspicious when rich people turn to religion, and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, okay, I mean, you know, I don't know.
Usually people really make a huge turn to religion if something tragic has happened, and then they start to all of a sudden realize there's a God out there, and I think they want to reduce the wrath of God in the future by turning to religion. That's my opinion about people who make this sudden turn. You know, all of a sudden you didn't give a rat's ass about God, and now all of a sudden you're a preacher man. No, something happened in your life. You thought maybe you were going to hell. You still see the possibility of your going to hell. So you want to have a trump card there. You want to pray to the man and try to fool him into thinking that you're actually a convert. You know, when in reality you're not.
Now I'm definitely a believer in God and all of that, but you can kind of see the guilt factor in some people, and most of them deny it, but I always get a little suspicious when somebody makes a total turnaround in their life, because there are normally reasons for it. You know, like, you know, mm-hmm. if you were going visibly in one direction on a certain path around a certain group of people or whatever,
And all of a sudden, you're leaving all of that behind. You know, you've pretty much turned in all of that kind of stuff. A lot of times there's something going on there. But, I mean, that's not really any of my business. But I do consider it to be of my concern, because if we're going to talk about the clothes, the house, the clothes, the car being symbols of success on a lower level, but there being other symbols of success that don't have anything to do with clothes or cars or houses, money, assets, or even liabilities. You know, we have to try to define, like, well, what else is there? What other ways are there to be successful besides material success? Because we may have already achieved that, you know. And spirituality is one of those things where money is not supposed to be involved, but if you're talking about going inside of a church, there's going to be money involved. A lot of it.
Yeah, I was about to say a lot of it. Spirituality, when you say spirituality, are you really including religion? Some people don't. When they talk about spirituality, they're talking about the soul or something that's metaphysical. So are you talking about religious per se, or just the emotional or metaphysical, or what particular specific realm?
I'm actually talking about all of it, because some people consider their religion to be spirituality. I don't. I separate the two,
mm-hmm.
but or the three, because as you're talking about metaphysics and things like that, and when you're talking mm-hmm. about like existentialism and things of that nature, you're talking about something that's very personal. You're talking about a personal relationship between you and whatever is going on with you spiritually, whereas in religion you may consider the since we don't physically know what God looks like, we may consider that to be spiritual, because we have to manifest in our minds who he is, what he is, and how he, you know, how he is and what he wants from us, you know what I mean? So it's spiritual on a different level. But yeah, I'm glad you asked that question, because yeah, I include all of it, because it can all work in the same way, you know, depending on how you swing mm-hmm. it. Because just in true spirituality, yes, true spirituality doesn't cost money, which is why.
You want to bet? You want to bet? I'll tell you why. because if I go through with this, you and everybody else that I know may have to call me Pastor Joe.
Oh, God.
Because that's right.
Wait.
Minister Joe. Because
testify. Pastor Joe.
Yeah. I am not going to found a church. What I am going to do is, if I go through with it, is spend $29 to get a pastoral degree online so that I can be exempt from taking the vaccination, so I can show the government I am truly a person who can be religiously exempt in a credible way. So Pastor Joe may just be knocking on your door to say, my son.
Wait a minute. Did you say we could do this for $29?
You're there, right?
Wait a minute.
Yeah,
20. This ain't bad. You might.
That's right.
Shit. I wish I would have found this out.
I call you Pastor, too.
I wish I would have found this out 2 months ago. Shit. I'm knocking on the door. I can do it right here.
Right. I'll tell you where you can go. You can go to Universal Life Church. I think that's the name of it, Universal Life Church. And for $29, you can get it online. And you can actually marry people, too. Yeah. So, I mean, if they come and knock on my door, the government, and they start really putting a gun to my head and taking the vaccine, I'm spending the $29. And I'm going to say, I am Preacher Joe or Pastor Joe or Minister Joe, if you please, and no thank you to the vaccine. Goodbye, G-Men. Take a hike.
I like it. I like it a lot. Pastor Joe.
Hey, you might
know. Y'all heard that, right? $29. You for all y'all still holding out? This might be the way.
Man.
This is it.
There you go. Where's Pastor Joe? Well, he's preaching over there at Pornhub. Oh, that's his
there
church.
You go. Hey, saving souls. Hey, porn souls have to be saved too. I'm saving them all.
That's right. They need healing.
That's right. Bow heads. Bow heads. Lay hands. Yeah, that all that.
Oh, I got a feeling the next time I call it on your show, you're going to be Preacher Go before I become Pastor Joe.
Trust me, I have some research to do right after this show. I have yeah. I want to thank you, Pastor Joe. You make I think you really enlightened us.
Anytime, my son.
This is good shit. Listen, Joe, that's I got to get out of
universe,
here.
I think, okay.
Yo, I appreciate you calling
Universal
it in.
Universal Life Church, I think. Yeah.
I'm about to plug
it, okay?
All right, man. Take care.
All right.
Yo. I care what y'all say. Joe is all right. Now, if you ain't getting nothing out of that, I'll just, yo. Hey, yo. So, for all my people who don't want to get vaccinated, that would be me, but it's already too late for me. But y'all can save yourselves now. You can save yourself. Universal Life Church, $29. You can get a religious exception. So we might need this next year when they come with the second round, fourth, fifth, super booster shots, all that little crazy shit. This might be the way to go. This might be the way to go. I don't know. So now we have the house, the clothes, the car, the religious exception, and a couple of extra dollars to go to the mall and the movies and out to dinner. There we go. Let's do these birthday shout-outs. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious, glorious, glorious November 5th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special because they are special because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box, Aisha Houston. Aisha Houston turning 47 years old today. Happy birthday to you, Aisha. And also Demetria Pugh Edwards turning 51 years old today. And Edgar Cortez. Oh, by the way, Demetria is, she's a 1970 baby. Yeah, with the blind, with the crippled, the crazy. And also LaShawn Malone turning 40 years old today. Welcome to the 4040 Club. Sit back, relax, and chill. It's going to be all right. You know, that's what's up. And Janelle McIntyre turning 30 years old today. No relation. But what up, cuz? You already know. And yeah, Pooh Walker turning 41 years old today. And Bree turning 37 years old today. And Rosie Shepherd turning 48 years old today. And my man Nate North turning 44. Bow, 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 bow. 44 years old today. And Ashante Stone, happy birthday to you. And Shy Douglas, turning 53 years old today. And my man Black Aladdin, turning 39 years old today. And Nakia White Spots, happy birthday to you. And Lex Royal, that oh so popular Lex Royal, happy birthday to you. My man Chris Batson, happy birthday to you. And last but not least, Deron Smith. turning 59 years old today. I want to say happy birthday to all of you and anyone else out there who shares his birthday on this glorious, glorious, glorious November 5th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally. All of y'all go ahead and turn up, but don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. Rock out, rock on it, do the damn, the rock out, rock on it, do the damn, rock out, rock on it, do the damn thing, and do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings, and do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind, and anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, listen, the house to close the car, the house to close the car, house to close the car, add a little bit of money, the house to close the car, add a little bit of money, house to close the car, add a little bit of money, left over, left over, left over, left over, the house to close the car, add a little bit of money, the house to close the car, add a little bit of money, the house to close the car, add a little bit, a little bit, a little bit of money left over. Well, it might be the American dream, and it may look more like the American dream in some places rather than other places. You know, when you grow up in a black neighborhood and a house, a car, and nice clothes, it holds a little bit more weight. When you're swimming with the fish that you're swimming with in the pond or the stream or the brook or the river or the lake that you're swimming in, it looks like what it looks like. Personally, I think that being able to afford a nice house, some decent clothes, and a nice car, I think that's a pretty good start. And I'm not mad at anybody that's satisfied with that station. You, not everybody wants to be rich, and not everybody needs to be. Evidently, you can see that by the evidence out here. Maybe we all want to be able to have money left over to be able to buy some things, live some, you know, experience some things and have security with our lives after we have already spent the money that we spend and have purchased the things that we purchased and got the things that we got. So if that's where you are in your life or you're striving to get to that point, I ain't mad at you. Matter of fact, I applaud you, yours, and what y'all doing, whatever you have going on. It's not easy to climb the economic ladder for everybody. But wherever you're climbing the economic ladder, well, y'all know how we do. And come on now. And at the end of the day, we can't forget about the niggonomics of the situation. That's right, the niggonomics of the situation. That's when you get paid a certain salary, but you hustle in other ways to get your cake up, you know. So you know, what you don't know no niggonomics of hustles. Well, we have selling dinners, or we have we get that paparazzi jewelry popping, you know, crazy, or some other pyramid schemes. Yes, paparazzi is a pyramid scheme, you know, mainly because you know it's mid-level marketing. Mid-level marketing. It is what it is. Somebody presents it to you. You work under them. You get your own shit. Get other people to come on. They work under you. You know, that type of shit. And everybody getting paid. Everybody getting paid. You know, working on cars, doing home repairs on the side, cutting grass, snow removal, whatever it is. You get your hustle on. It's niggonomics. So, yeah, this is my 9-to-5, but this is how I get the other money. Gambling. Stuff like that. Shit like that. Shit like that. Whatever you got to do to take care of your family, man, you do that shit. And you do it to death when you do it. Do it to death when you do it, son. All right. All right. All right. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to take y'all out of here. Remember, there won't be a show tomorrow or Sunday. We'll be back on Monday, and then we're going to rock out. But when we do our shows, well, tell you what, we're going to cross that bridge when we come to it. We're going to cross that bridge when we go to it. I ain't going to load y'all with,
with information tonight. I ain't gonna do all that. I gotta go work with the boy. You know what I mean? Nigga tired. I gotta go work with the boy. You know what I'm saying? All right, so this is what we gonna do. We gonna ride out. Everything is gonna be all right. Slide out. And don't worry. Everything is gonna be okay. It's gonna be all right. I hope you're feeling all right. Cinderella, Dana, Dane. I didn't say hi, but I'm saying it right now. Thanks for coming on by. Queen Matsumayini. Monica, Queen Monica is in the place. It's real good to see you come through on the Instagram side. Glad to see your face. That's word, y'all. So here we go. Peace, y'all. So I holler back. My man D Skills. That's my dude. You know what I mean?
West from New York.
It's Jersey. Down south. He's down in Georgia. Yeah. That's just a man right there. Word. Thank you for coming on through. My brother Antel Jones. Yeah, you do. Hey, you know how we are. Y'all stars, y'all. Y'all stars, y'all. I hope y'all enjoy this show. And I really is.
Got mad flow. You know what I'm saying?